Well, it's been a busy day in the NHL, and it's going to be a busy weekend for the NFL. Baseball playoffs are on. So let's start by talking about Toronto FC and the MLS, who are out of the playoffs. What do you think?
I actually wanted to start by talking about esports, but I really think that that'd be something that would throw a wrench in your plans if I started talking about competitive video games.
League of Legends news does not interest me.
Hey man, it gets more views than the NBA finals. More people watch it than the NBA finals. I'm just saying, and I'm also just saying that my brother might be part of it sometime soon. But anyways, it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about first. We're going to talk about hockey, folks.
Let's talk hockey. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, we should first say who we are, because we didn't say that during the Dan Murphy podcast, and probably cost us a few listens.
I'm Paul Almeida. I'm a closeted hick who really wants to live just down in Georgia and play the banjo with a piece of straw in my mouth.
It's okay. That's fantastic. I'm Dan McDonald, and I have red hair and therefore an insecurity complex.
lack of a soul, which it makes up for by lining up early on Boxing Day for their sales.
There you go.
And don't ask me how there's a correlation.
No, I don't know. So this is the DP Sportscast. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter links are in the podcast handle. It's a little late at night. We're doing this one at about 11 p.m. So I apologize if we're a little quieter or if we're a little drunker. We might well be both. That might just be me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we'll start by talking about hockey. And we're going to talk about the East. We're going to do a little bit of preview of the East because we didn't get around to that this past week. We're going to try our best to, Paul, let's try and ignore what happened in the first couple games. Not let that kind of color our predictions. I'm certainly not going to let it color my predictions when I talk about it. Although going by my predictions, it's going to seem as though they're influenced a bit. But let's start by talking about the Metropolitan Division. I've always thought that was a really weird name.
Yeah.
For a division, considering, Metropolitan, and you have the sprawling metropolises of Raleigh, North Carolina, Columbus, Ohio, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But, going into the year, it's hard not to like Pittsburgh as the favorite in that division, no?
Yeah, who else are you going to take, really? If Pittsburgh wins by default, even though the Rangers made it to the Cup Final, I'm not sure they're going to get back there. Especially if Pittsburgh has anything to say about it.
Yeah. Let's start at the bottom, though, because we started at the bottom with the other two divisions when we were talking about them in the West. So let's start at the bottom. Who's going to finish eighth in this?
Are we going to do both divisions?
We're going to do both divisions. Okay. So we got to go relatively quick.
Yeah. All right. So my bottom three go Carolina. Carolina. Columbus. Philly.
Wow. Columbus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm big on the New Jersey Devils, who are a lot better than I think people think they are, and I think the Islanders will take a playoff spot is why I say that. Because the conventional bottom three is Carolina, Islanders, Devils, as according to Bet365. But I got Hurricanes, Blue Jackets down there, and Philly, who just tanked tonight.
That's really interesting because Columbus is a Vogue pick, I think. I've seen a lot of people on ESPN and NHL TV. Well, not a lot, sorry. I've seen a handful of people predicting them to be an Eastern Conference finalist.
Wow.
I know. I saw at least two guys on NHL.com's prediction sprawl who had them as Eastern Conference finalists, neither of whom predicted them to go to the Stanley Cup final, but Eastern Conference finalists, which I think is a bit premature. I think they have a really good roster for a couple of years down the road. I don't think they're there yet. Mm-hmm. My bottom three is in eighth, I have Carolina, just like you do. I don't see really any upside in that team this year.
No.
In seventh, I have New Jersey, and I like Corey Schneider, but I think that they're just too ragtag. They're relying on a really transient roster right now, and I just don't see anything about them that really impresses me a whole hell of a lot. And in sixth, I have the Washington Capitals.
Right, yeah. Capitals would be next for me.
Okay.
They won't.
Oh, fifth. Well, you're on to fifth, yeah.
I'm on to, what is that, 7, 6, and 5? Or 8?
No, 5. You did 8, 7, 6.
8, 7, 6.
This is good radio right
there
here.
We go. Great radio. 8, 7, 6. Okay, yeah. Next I have the New Jersey Devils. And then I have the Islanders.
Okay, so that's 5-4 Devils Islanders. Do you see? Well, okay. Do you see those two as the wild card teams in the East, or do you see one of them as?
I have the Islanders in the playoffs. Devils on the outside. Yeah, okay. I think the upside to the Devils quickly is Corey Schneider and net having the number one spot without the distraction of Marty Brodeur, who didn't awkwardly skipped out on a retirement Derek Jeter tour.
Which is unfortunate because he's the greatest goalie of all time. But.
I think they do have upside, as they showed tonight. Topical. Mm-hmm. Schneider wins the current former Canuck goalie battle. Luongo got shelled.
You can't be factoring in the first two games, though.
No, technically,
we should have done this prior to the season.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. They look good against Florida, but who mm-hmm. doesn't? So... Mm-hmm. I'll have the Islanders just in the wild card spot and the Devils in there as the five.
Okay. I have both my five and my four in the Metropolitan. They're wild cards for me. I think there's going to be both wild cards that come for the Metropolitan, which I think is a stronger division this year. Five for me is the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm still not crazy about their goaltending or their defense, but I think up front they have a strong group of forwards. I mean, you know, they looking at their roster, they really do. I know they've had a poor start to the year, but I still think that they're going to recover. I think they're going to be a playoff team. And number four, just like you, I have the Islanders. I think that certainly prior to the Boychuk Letty moves, I don't think I would have had them in this spot. I think I would have had them contending, but on the outside. But I think that they have one of the three best players in the world in John Tavares. I think they have a strong forward group, and now they have a good defense and a good goalie to back them up. So I see them as a playoff team.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. My number three or my three divisioners, three divisional
qualifiers.
Washington in the three spot. Barry Trotz is going to do wonders, I think. And then Ovechkin, having him have another good year, he'll probably hit 50, if not 60 goals. Then the Rangers in two and Pittsburgh winning the division.
Okay, makes sense. I have the Rangers at three, the Jackets at two, which is a huge
opposite of me.
Huge friggin' spread from you, and then just like you, though, I have the Pens at one. I think that, Columbus, I really like Columbus's roster. I like the Scott Hartnell move. They're bringing on a good veteran voice in the room. I think that now, you know, they signed Ryan Johansson. I think that they're going to see some progress from their young guys. I do know that, though, maybe one thing that you're considering is that they got Boone Jenner and who was the other guy that got injured for a long period of time?
Oh, God.
I don't know. We're obsessed with hockey.
Is it
Dubinsky? Dubinsky?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're out for like 2 months, both of them. So that's going to hurt them. But I still think they're a strong team. They're for sure for me a playoff team.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh to win the Metro Division at 3.1-1. Probably not staggering odds, but they're the favorite, and rightly so, as they showed tonight.
Oh my God. And I'm going to pat myself on the back here, but how good does Patrick Hornquist look with Sidney Crosby and Chris Kunitz on that line? Like, he is a puck hound.
Well, the thing is, he wasn't supposed to start the year there, hey?
Was he not?
He was supposed to play with Evgeny Malkin and whoever the third line or the third player plug pylon on that line is supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't actually know. Who was it? Wasn't Dupuis, was it?
No, well, the plan was to play Crosby, Dupuis, and Kunitz, and then Malkin with Hornquist and whoever. But Malkin
was it Brandon Sutter? Was Brandon Sutter playing on that line?
Brandon Sutter was actually centering the line to give Malkin a chance to recover more from injury, not taking faceoffs and all that.
Okay.
So now, it's sticking. Kunitz, Hornquist, and Crosby looks unreal. And then Dupuis playing with Sutter and Malkin, and they might move Malkin over to center again, and I don't know what happens then with Sutter or whatever. But, yeah. Hornquist looks great on that line. Christian Ehrhoff isn't even playing on the power play, which is why I picked him up in the pool. And that power play looks ridiculous of Malkin, Crosby, Kunitz, Letang, and Hornquist.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Better power play, Pens or the Stars of Sagan, Ben, Hemsky, Spezza, and Trevor Daly / Goligoski?
Yeah. I'd say the Penguins in that sense. I think that they've really found an excellent niche there. And the way they were setting it up against the Leafs, and the Leafs look like a joke right now, but they're setting up against the Leafs is they had like kind of a more fluid rotating diamond, and it was just really cool to see. Of course, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you and I are picking the Pens to win the Metro, and they'll probably win the Metro, but, you know, they'll lose in like the second round of the playoffs
to someone in the Atlantic. Who's your bottom three for the Atlantic? This shouldn't take long.
Well, look, I mean the Atlantic is such a weird division. Just really quickly, I mean, you know, last year, I think going into it, everyone thought it would be just a bomb ass division, and now going into this year, I see it as a really top-heavy division. So my bottom three in the Atlantic, I have 8 Buffalo, 7 Ottawa, and 6 Florida.
Yeah, that's exactly how I got it. I mean, Ottawa's top-line center is Kyle Turris, and he's going to get all the Corsis in the world, and it still won't be enough.
I want all the Corsis.
All the Corsis.
Give me all
those
the Corsis.
Those are shots for our advanced listeners.
Yup.
That made no sense for our whatever. Excuse me while I drink some more beer out of a straw.
That's really weird.
All right, next up I have the Detroit Red Wings missing the playoffs.
Okay.
For the first time in 35 years or however long it is.
Okay.
And then I have the Maple Leafs. Also,
You have them making the playoffs because you only had 4 teams in the Metro making.
So I have the Leafs making the playoffs in the 8th spot, which is not obviously aided by tonight, but
No, they've looked pretty rough in the first two games.
They look pretty brutal, but I think they'll still be better than the New Jersey Devils. So the Leafs to make the playoffs in the last 8th spot on the final day of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have the Leafs at 5, not making the playoffs, and I have the Red Wings at 4, also not making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have 5 in the Metro.
Yes, of course. Yeah, the Leafs are interesting. Nazem Kadri playing the second line is akin probably to Nick Bonino playing our second line, although Nick Bonino's obviously way more adept and adequate.
I think so. He's been pretty good in the first two games.
Yeah, definitely. The Leafs just on defense are too slow, and Diamfanouf, I don't know if he's supposed to be anchoring or continuing to slash people behind the play.
Oh, he's anchoring all right in the sense that he's not letting them friggin' go anywhere.
Morgan Rielly will be good.
An anchor.
Morgan Rielly will be good in about 4 years, but right now he looks pretty brutal too. Stefan Robida.
Jake Gardner, I think, is a good defender. But
yeah. All right, so top three then. I may have a surprise here. What are your top three?
Yeah, okay, my top three. In 3, I have Montreal, who I think, I mean, they've looked out. They've won all 3 of their games, 2 of which were shootouts, so it's not as though it's like crazy wild, but they look pretty good. 2, I have Tampa, and 1, I have Boston.
Okay. I have Boston in the 3 spot. Zdeno Chara just being too old for me, and they getting rid of Johnny Boychuk and 30 goals in Jerome McGinley. Then I have the Montreal Canadiens, and then I love the Tampa Bay Lightning this year.
Yeah,
I love
what's not to love. What's not to love?
I love the line that will happen in a month or two of Palat, Stamkos, and Drouin, and then the second line of Filppula, Callahan, and
Tyler Johnson,
or Alex Killorn, or whoever
Kucherov, or Nemestikov. They have an amazing young nucleus, that team. They really do. Like, I mean, I'm envious. You look at Johnson, Palat, Drouin, Stamkos, Hedman, who is just...
Yeah, and then you talk about the defense.
Stud. Yeah, he's the stud that I think they thought he would be when they drafted him. And it took him a little while to get there, as it sometimes takes defenders to get there. But he is a top 10 defender in the league right now.
He was 3rd in goal defender scoring last year, and it's only going to get better this year. Definitely. Yeah. And who else do they have on that team? Hedman, they picked up Strawman. They got Garrison this summer. They have Eric Brewer.
They got Dan Boyle and Brendan Morrow to like kind of be fourth line veteran PK presences.
Yeah. And then in net, you got Ben Bishop, who really is, I mean, if Tampa does well, Ben Bishop's going to be doing well. If Ben Bishop does well, as go the Lightning. So I have them winning the Atlantic and actually making it all the way to the Cup final.
Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about that then, because we established our playoff teams now. Let's talk about who we have as our Final Four. Who's in your West Final? Who's in your East Final?
I mean, the West Final, I think, is the Cup Final, just like last year, and it's not a, a mind-blowing prediction of Chicago versus LA. I have Chicago winning it this year. Mm. And in the East, I have Tampa over the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Eastern Final, and then Chicago winning a cup over the Tampa Bay Lightning in game number 6.
Okay, interesting. Chicago getting their third in 5 years, so that's good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so my Final Four, I have the Blackhawks and the Ducks.
Okay.
Final Four there, because I have the Ducks as winning the Pacific, and I really like the Ducks as long as they can get goaltending.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
a throwback to my pool selections.
Yeah, that's right. I guess so, eh? And then I have the Bolts. And, well, okay, I was, can the Bolts and the Bruins meet in the Eastern Final, or will that not happen because 1, 4, and 2, 3? No, they can't meet in the East Final the way that my thing,
the way that out. Yours sets up, but they,
no,
can,
they can't.
They can if your predictions are wrong, but they can.
Well, but then that would make sense if I predicted them and didn't.
You could predict a Cup Final and then, like, not a whatever.
So I'm going to say Bees, and we'll go Bees Rangers.
Okay.
And so I'm going to have a Cup Final of Anaheim and Boston. And I have a
Ryan Kessler gets his revenge.
Yeah, I got a Cup Champion of Anaheim this year.
Okay. The 2007 throwback.
Mm-hmm. I just think there's a lot to like about that Anaheim Ducks roster. And I mean, I really do think one of Anderson or Gibson, and I gravitate towards Gibson, but I really do think that one of them is going to elevate his game and become the number one. I think their big question mark, you'd probably agree, is on defense. Like,
yeah, it's got
their
be.
Number one is going to be, I don't think Cam Fowler is your prototypical number one, but I think that Hampus Lindholm might be.
That's a great name, Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah,
I love it.
Put the laundry in the Hampus.
In the Hampus. Francois Beauchemin could be their number one. They have Reverend Lovejoy down there.
Reverend Lovejoy.
And then the Stoner with Sammy Vatanen, who started the year strong here.
Yeah.
I think the biggest question for the Ducks is, can Danny Heatley score 50 and 15?
Buddy, Danny Heatley, you don't even understand. Packing dips, taking rips.
What a great signing, I think. I mean,
no, you don't. You don't actually think that.
$1 million to take a flyer on a guy who has nothing to lose, literally.
Yeah,
and he could be playing with Getzlaff and Perry and just soar with confidence.
Soar, like S-O-R-E? Like his nose is going to be sore with confidence?
You never know. He might score the cup-winning goal for you over Tuukka Rask.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excluding Danny Heatley from what I like about the Ducks. I just I really see guys like Emerson Needham and Devontae Smith-Pelly and Kyle Palmieri taking some steps this year. Silfverberg was a good, not last year. I remember I took him in the pool, and that was just a titanic mistake, but 2 years ago, he was really good with Ottawa in his rookie year, and I think he can make some steps. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I got Ducks over Bruins. I think that Anaheim – well, what are the odds? What does 365 have odds-wise for our two cup picks?
For our two cup picks, I'm just in the division, so let me scroll outright to win. Right now, the Blackhawks at 7.5, so I took the favorite. Woo, yep. Good job, me. Yeah. Bruins at 8.5, Kings at 9.5, Ducks at 11 in fourth, tied with the Blues. The Lightning, 17-1 if you're looking for value. Colorado, 17-1. Really? If you want value.
Start of the year, yep.
Yeah, if you want value, I'd say the Lightning at 17-1 or the Stars once they get going at 26-1, although I don't think they can compete with
I don't think the Stars are a cup contender yet. I think they'll be there soon, but I don't see them as that yet. No. They don't have like a linchpin defender. They really don't. Like even less so than the Ducks.
Yeah. San Jose at 13-1 might be a bit favorable, but this might be their last crack at it as well. So I wanna say this thing I'm doing that has relevance to betting. I'm betting on every single game this year. And it's not with much money. It's with 5% of my of my account. So
that is craziness.
So it's basically a dollar on every game. Yeah. And my theory being that I should get more right than wrong. And yeah. I'm betting at around 60%. So eventually it should go up. So I'll let you know how it goes throughout the year.
Yeah, please let me know. Eventually it should go up, but we'll see. I mean, that is a lot of money to be betting. How'd you do tonight?
I got 10 out of 15 correct.
That's pretty good.
So 66% tonight. My overall is at 56%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, more right than wrong.
Yeah, more right than wrong. But, Paul, I think that what we need to talk to people about is the fact that tonight, at the start of the night, when all this hockey was going on, you were not watching hockey. Because what were you watching?
I was lonely and drinking alone and watching baseball.
Lonely, drinking alone, watching baseball sounds like my perfect kind of Saturday night. I'm not going to lie.
I'll tell you what. The Kansas City Royals are throwing wrenches into my baseball betting.
They're throwing wrenches into the baseball world.
Oh, my God. They're the 2012 LA Kings.
They are. They absolutely are.
Are they going to win this? Are they going to go to the World Series?
No. Well, they're going to win. They're going to beat the Orioles, but they're not going to beat the either the Cardinals or the Giants, whomever they come up against. But then again, I would not have thought that they could sweep my Angels, and I would not have thought that they could look so good against the Orioles. They just, like, it's a different guy for them every night, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was Lorenzo Cain tonight going 4-for-5 with a ribby, and he looked like a beauty.
Three huge catches in the outfield.
Yeah. Great player. Who was it last night? It was Alex Gordon and Mike Moustakas. In extra innings. It was Eric Hosmer before that in the Angels series. It was in the wild card game. It was who hit the Perez, Salvador Perez, their catcher, who's a great player. So they just do it by committee.
Winning by committee. Yep, exactly what I was going to say. So Kansas City's going to go to the World Series. I don't think Baltimore's going to win 3 in a row here.
It's best of 7, bud.
Oh, it is best of 7? I thought it was best of 5.
Still so much I know about baseball. First round's best of 5, second round's, and World Series are best
of 7. Best of 7? Okay, that makes sense. It's, I still don't like the wild card.
I don't understand why. I mean, I think it's. I know there's a lot of guys like Greg Zahn who hate the wild card, and I don't understand it because you only want two teams making the playoffs?
No, I don't. Division? I don't consider the wild card a playoff game. The wild card is basically game 163 to see who gets into the playoffs.
Okay, well, if they didn't have that, then you would have had the Giants, and you would have had the Athletics, and not this great story of the Kansas City Royals.
Sure. I just also think if you're going to do the wild card, it's got to be a 162-game season built on series, and then you have a one-game playoff. Doesn't really make sense to me. But anyway.
You're right. That that's a good point. I mean, they should have a best of 3, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But then you're going to have playoffs into November, and that throws off everything, and baseball's about stats, and they'll never change it because stats.
Well, that's exactly it. Baseball's about record books and stats and history. They won't even budge on the amount of games. They won't even
that's the thing.
They won't even go to 160.
They could add that 3-game wild card, but they'd have to go down or start the season earlier, but then you're going into hockey playoffs and they won't change.
No, they're gonna stubborn. What's the word you're looking for? They're not going to change. They're really averse to change.
Yeah. So, okay. I don't think, coming from a Canucks fan who's remembering 2011 with a tear in his eye, Kansas City up 2-0, I don't think they lose this still. But what about the other, what about in the National League?
AL. Yeah, well, you know, tonight was the first game, the Giants and Card series. And before the series, our boy Dan Murphy, when we had him on and I asked him, he said he thought the Cardinals would be the team there. The Giants look great tonight. The Giants have outstanding pitching. Bumgarner is, not only is he the best name in all of sports, but he is just a stud on the mound. The Cardinals have good pitching too, but I going into this series, I would have bet the Giants up and down because the Giants just look stellar. They looked so good in the divisional series. They looked really good in the wild card game, and they're an interesting team because they're kind of like the Royals in the sense that they don't have a bunch of studs offensively. Like, they got Buster Posey, who everyone likes. They have got like Sandoval. They have guys who, it's not by committee because these are guys who've done it before, but it's not like the Dodgers, for instance, who have, you know, all this name value with Yasiel Puig and Matt Kemp and Hanley Ramirez and Adrian Gonzalez, right? So I would go right now, you know, when the playoffs started, I had Giants Dodgers in the, you know, World Series. So it shows you what I know. but entering this round of series, I had the Orioles and the Giants going through and the Giants winning the World Series. I'm going to keep Giants winning the World Series, but the Royals are going to, they're going to beat the Orioles, it looks like.
Yeah, apparently. Well, that's our baseball wrap up. Let's talk some CFL, the BC Lions.
Stop it. We just, never talk CFL. Just kidding. Stop it.
How bad are the Ottawa Redblacks? Oh, man.
Well, I mean, maybe it would, maybe if they clarified what a red black actually was and why their logo is a bandsaw.
Let's talk about relevant and real football. Yeah, the start. NFL. I'm going to grill you on all picks.
Okay.
Here we go. Should I do all $1 bets on football picks too?
Yeah, if you're doing all $1 bets on hockey, do all your $1 bets on all football. I actually had an in-depth conversation with a friend of mine who I make football picks with on the weekend about all the games tonight. So nice. Let's go. I'm ready.
Let's do it. Here we go. $1 bets on all of them. It's not $1. Yeah. It's 5%. It's a ratio. This is like statistically... Anyways.
It's a statistically viable system.
Yeah, folks. Don't worry about it. Okay, so I had Indy winning the Thursday nighter, but Thursday nighters apparently aren't hard to predict because they're all blowouts.
No, they're just terrible.
All right, first up, Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee.
Yeah, I got Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
They are the favorite.
Jacksonville's just got awful.
Oh, Blake Bortles. Baltimore at Buccaneers. This should take you less than 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's Baltimore there, obviously.
Denver on the road in New York. Can Peyton Manning live up to the... Yes.
Yeah, you Detroit. Can. These are, you're not even giving me the hard ones yet.
Here we go. Detroit at Minnesota. Gets kind of difficult.
Detroit. Yeah. Detroit. Who's throwing the ball right now? Is it still going to be Christian Ponder for the Vikings?
Has to be. All right, so those are all boring and easy picks. New England at Buffalo. Gets kind of interesting here, but...
Well, Tom Brady sure looked good last week.
Yeah, so it's got to be New England. We agree so far. Carolina at Cincy.
Okay, so this is a bit of an iffy one. AJ Green's not playing for the Bengals this weekend. He's hurt. Mm-hmm. So there goes Andy Dalton's number one target. It's in Cincy, right?
Yeah.
I got Carolina in this one.
Me too. And the odds are stacked way against them. Let me check here quickly on the game line. The Panthers, the Bengals are 7-point favorites. And if you're looking at the money line, Bengals are 1.34 and the Panthers are 3.35. I'm taking the Panthers here.
Yeah, no, I like Carolina. I mean, I like them this year. I like them entering the year. I think they have a pretty balanced roster. I'm not the hugest Cam Newton fan, but he's getting it done so far this year. And I think that the Bengals are going to miss AJ Green. I think that they're going to be I don't want to say they're going to be tired, but I think they'll be affected by the fact that they got romped so badly by the Patriots on Monday. And yeah, I like the Panthers for a bit of an upset.
Yep. Then let's go with the Pittsburgh at Cleveland. The only game I've seen in a long time, literally even odds, no point spread on this game.
Well, so it's a pick 'em. So that's kind of stupid to me. Well, the Pittsburgh beat Cleveland in the first game of the year, right? I mean, they've already played once. Yeah, by three. Then Pittsburgh looked awful against Baltimore, and they lost to freaking Tampa Bay. But they did beat Carolina handily, and
they're all over the place.
So I go with Pitt.
I'm going with Cleveland. There's our first disagree.
Okay.
I take Cleveland. Johnny Football.
Okay. He's not even playing. You can't reference a man who's not even playing.
Yes, you can. Talk to the Boston Bruins when they said Sean Thornton made them score 3 goals last year.
Shut up. I like Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer's a good quarterback. Why you got a Johnny Manziel?
Johnny Manziel's on his Twitter more than he's on the field, but it's fine. Your Packers at the Dolphins. I'll take your Packers as well.
Yeah, I'm a little biased there, but I think
Not.
I don't think Green Bay's played up to thus far as good as I think that they can be this season. I think that you know, they're a better team than 3-2. But I mean, I think last week they romped the Vikings, and before that they romped the Bears. So they're getting on the stride.
San Diego at Oakland, we won't even say anything. Bears at Falcons.
Falcons, I got. I think that is a, don't overthink that one.
Yeah, that's Falcons. That's easy. Yeah. The surprisingly 4-1 Cowboys, can they upset the Seahawks?
No, but I had a good discussion tonight about how the Cowboys are going to be a good challenge for the Seahawks. I think that the Hawks, that buzzsaw they faced in San Diego, was their toughest matchup of the year so far this year. And they've had a tough strength of schedule to start the year. San Diego, obviously Denver, Green Bay, and now Dallas. So it's been no walk in the park for the Hawks. I got the Hawks still, but it's going to be a great game to watch.
Do the Cowboys win the NFC East over the favored Eagles?
No.
No? No. The Giants are surprising too, but we're about to talk about them. So Seahawks win that one. Arizona at home to the Redskins, the Washington football team.
Yeah, we'll call them. We'll take the South Park route. We'll call them the Washington football team. And I've got, Paul. Come on, I've got Arizona here. I'm sorry, bud, but
we've discussed this. I'm well off the bandwagon.
I know you are. And it was just RG3, and now it's Kirk now Cousins. It's
RG3 was my boy, and now he's not even playing. So
he'll never play again.
Consider me a non-Washington Redskins fan. If I have to pick a team to be a fan of, what did I say? The Detroit Lions, probably.
You did, because you liked their big three.
Yes. Here we go. New York Giants at Philly, the NFC East matchup.
Here's a good game. I got Philly.
You got Philly. I have Philly as well, even though the Giants look good. Is this the Sunday nighter? It is a Sunday night. Good. Yeah.
The people still don't really believe in Foles, do they?
No.
I don't know why. I mean, he's played well. He's had a good year so far this year. He had a good year last year. I think he's a good quarterback.
He is. And they have the surrounding cast to do it.
Yeah.
So they're easily the favorites to win the division. So, I don't know. People might think that Dallas has the inside track to win the division, but...
No, I think the Eagles. I like Nick Foles a lot. I like his supporting cast. I mean, how can you not like LeSean McCoy? Jeremy Maclin making a lot of catches for them. I like them.
McCoy, he's got to be one of the best running backs in the league. And the Monday nighter, we got San Fran at St. Louis. Not really a good matchup.
They actually have the Monday nighter at St. Louis.
poor NFL, Sam Bradford getting injured, and they still have to play this game.
What the hell is wrong with their scheduling? Like, okay, well, you know what? I think that one thing we got to mention about the Rams is that, and I just found this now, so I'm not going to act like I knew this before. They are first in the NFL in opposing passing yards allowed, in the sense that they've allowed the fewest opposing passing yards in the league. They've also allowed the second most opponent rushing yards. So that's their big problem, is that they just let people run roughshod over them. So
basically their D-line sucks.
Yeah, their D-line is, they should have kept Michael Sam, I guess.
I guess so.
But Frank Gore, he's a
distraction. That's so stupid.
Frank Gore and Colin Kaepernick are just going to go ape shit on that.
Okay, quickly. I'm going to say all the division favorites, and you tell me if they're going to win the division. AFC North, Cincinnati Bengals.
What are their odds?
2.1.
No.
AFC East, New England Patriots, 1.28.
Yes.
AFC South, Indy. My boy, Andrew Luck. Most touchdowns in the NFL. My prediction.
They're such a vogue pick this year. The Colts, they're back in vogue now. I'm going to say yes, but I really do like the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the bye this week, or is it them and the Saints?
The Texans?
Oh, the Colts just played the Thursday nighter.
Colts played the Thursday nighter.
The Saints, I guess, have the bye, as well as I don't know who.
Kansas City, are they playing this weekend?
Yeah, there you go, Kansas City. AFC West, Broncos, 1.28.
Yeah.
I say
I like the Chargers.
I like the Chargers to take that.
And I like the Chiefs, but I got Denver.
Kansas City, 19-1. Oakland, 401-1. And NFC North, your Packers, 1.66.
Yeah, the other teams in that division are falling apart. Yeah. With the exception of Detroit. But yeah,
Detroit's my new team, but I like the Packers there. Yeah, NFC East, we've covered the Eagles. NFC South, Saints, 2.0.
No, Carolina's going to win that division.
Okay, NFC West, that's the Seahawks. Is it though? Yes, of course it is.
Yeah, it is. Let's be honest. Lesbianist.
The Browns at 8-1 to win the division. Why don't you just take $8 and throw it out your window?
The Browns at 8-1. I don't. What is life like?
You'll get more fun if you like put it in your toilet and flush it, because then every so often your toilet will back up and you'll feel like a winner.
Draw pictures of Johnny Manziel on your dollar bills
and throw them, and one in, every so often someone might buy it on eBay and you'll make more money.
Yeah. Soak them in olive oil, cook them up.
All right, I like these short podcasts. It's working. We're just rifling through these things.
Doesn't matter if you like them. Matters if the people like them.
Well, no, I don't care what the people think. Screw the people.
This is a masturbatory exercise. We do this for ourselves.
I don't even really publish them. I just listen to them over and over. Mm-hmm. I listen to them while I work out. Is that weird?
Well, that just means that you hear my voice when you're sweaty. So it's
and that just, you love that. You've loved that ever since you've met me.
Well, but even though I haven't seen you since you've been home in Vancouver, and I'm bitter about that, but that's a whole other story.
Hey, I am in Vancouver now. Everybody, come to my house and party. I don't know.
Come to Paul's house and party.
My dog's here. She'll bark at you.
Really? But your mom listens to this podcast, so the moment she hears that, she's going to come down to your room and tell you not to party.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Rapid fire
with a bunch of questions that I don't have right now.
Okay, but I can give you time because I can think mine up spontaneously.
You're really good at that, aren't you?
I'm really good at spontaneous things. Like, well, anyways. All right. Excuse me. The beer is sitting well. We're going to start going here. And a couple of these questions, folks, you might not really comprehend because they might have to do with our hockey pool. But, you know, that just means that you should, you know, tweet at us or email us or Facebook us and ask us about our hockey pool. So, Paul, are you ready with the Price is Right music?
It happens post-production, so
shut up.
Sure.
Just it's the magic of radio.
Oh, yeah.
People think you turn it on, and it just goes.
Did I just ruin the magic for everybody?
You always ruin the magic.
Oh.
You bastard.
All right.
Bastard. All right.
Give me one second. No. don't do that, because then I can't. Okay, here we go. Are you asking me first?
Yeah, I'll ask you first. Okay, it gives you kind. It gives you time.
Music starts now.
Okay, Paul, who's going to win the Hart Trophy this year?
Steven Stamkos.
Actually,
I said Steven Stamkos at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I can't change it. It's cheating. But Sidney Crosby looks like he's going to crack 200 points. So, I mean, Crosby by default, but Stamkos because I don't want to be boring.
Okay. Shit. All right. This might be a harder one. Then who's going to win the Calder Trophy?
Jonathan Drouin. He's going to storm back.
Well, I mean, it's going to take him. It's going to take him some time. I'll tell you who's not going to win the Calder Trophy. Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Roosh. All right. 0-5 versus 0-4. Who's going to win a game first, Jacksonville or Oakland?
Jacksonville. My man Blake Bortles and his girlfriend Lindsay Duke come on this podcast.
Who's is that? Oh yeah, that is his girlfriend. Is AJ McCarron's the guy who is dating
the one Catherine Webb?
Yeah.
How do I know this stuff? Because they're hot. That's why.
She's certainly not ugly.
No.
All right, Paul. Adrian Peterson is now. I think he got rearrested because he told the parole officer that, you know, when he was on parole, he smoked a bit of weed. What are some things that you should also never tell your parole officer?
How close to the? That one I shouldn't say online.
If it's true, don't fucking say it.
All the money you stole from the church to bet with, which might be my thing.
Okay.
You should also not tell them. Oh, I'm watching SportsCenter. I just saw Eric Johnson's flying elbow. You should not tell them if you do a flying elbow on a man whose last name is Holla.
Eric Holla.
You should not tell them how much pumpkin spice lattes you ordered while wearing your Uggs at Starbucks.
Oh, definitely should not tell them that. That's an arrestable offense.
It is. And you should also not tell them that you stalk Eugenie Bouchard on Twitter and Outsider House. I love you, Eugenie.
And you try and get her on this podcast, which I cannot even imagine if you had have got Eugenie Bouchard on this podcast. I think we would have just sat here for an hour and just been like, say something.
I like to think that she saw it and then scrolled past it. And by that sense, we were really close.
Well, I mean, look, if she saw it, if your Twitter picture was either Hulk you or shirtless you, you would have been fine.
But alas, it's not.
All right, last question. I know that you went and saw a musical last night, Paul.
Yeah.
And I also know that, obviously, as folks who are listening to this podcast probably know, Paul is musically inclined. If you were to think of one character in sports, past or present, to base a musical on, who would it be and what would you call it?
If I had to pick what? Say that again.
If you had to pick one character in sports, past or present, to write and base a musical on, who would it be and what would it be called?
It would be Pete Rose, and it would be all music by Kenny Rogers titled The Gambler.
What? That's actually a really good answer. I would have also accepted Mike Tyson. And all music is sung by someone who has a lisp.
And it would be sponsored by the Oxford Dictionary.
I like that. I like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
I would have done a tragedy. It would have been called Wayne Gretzky in Phoenix. Peter, a tragedy.
Peter Pocklington, the return that no one wanted.
Oh, God. Really, Oilers fans, I feel for you there. That's like bringing Mark Messier to a Canucks alumni game.
Oh, man. They play him on all the Sportsnet commercials, though.
How much do you want to, like, punch your TV when you see Mark Messier? Because he's literally on every commercial break now, and I want to, like, kick him in the dick every time I see him.
Well, the best thing was what he said pre-game before the Canucks game, or I guess it was before the Leafs game, where he said, leadership can hurt a team. If you don't have the right leadership, the rest of the team really feels it. And I looked at the TV and went, I'm glad you remembered.
You're screaming at the TV, that's you, scumbag!
Yeah, dick! Oh, man. Okay. Here, is that five?
That's five.
All right.
I was going to ask you a question about Ebola, but, you know, it didn't come along.
That's the musical, Ebola.
Ebola, the musical. It's set in Dallas.
And speaking of Dallas,
too soon.
My first question. Who's the restart?
No.
Which star has more surprising of a start with 0 points? Is it Phil Kessel or Jamie Benn?
Look, are you just trying to piss me off by asking me that question?
Dan has Jamie Benn in his pool.
Okay, well, he has literally one fewer point than Joe Pavelski, so I'm not sweating that if that's what you're trying to ask me.
No.
It is more surprising that Jamie Benn has no points because of who he plays with, but Phil Kessel sure has looked terrible in the first two games.
Yeah, he has looked terrible. Let's talk about, players, most surprising player with 0 points. We have Phil Kessel, Jamie Benn, Matt Duchene. Who else is on that list? I guess if you want to count Gabriel Landeskog, he's on that list. Nathan MacKinnon, I guess all Colorado Avalanche are on that list.
Yeah.
Brad Richards, if you want to include him, I don't really do.
I just think it's surprising that Colorado has, I mean, they played the same team in back-to-back games, and they sure have made Minnesota look good.
Mm-hmm. What about, I knew they were going to regress, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Most surprising, James Neal?
Not really. Oh, like he has no points, James Neal?
Yeah.
Jordan. Oh, I didn't know he had no points.
Yeah, Jordan Eberle, 0 points.
Jordan Eberle is overrated.
Anzi Kopitar, 0 points.
That team doesn't do anything in the regular season, so it doesn't matter.
Evander Kane injured for 13 years.
Sorry, Andrew.
No, apparently he's not that bad now. Okay, so Phil Kessel or Jamie Benn, what do you think?
It's surprising that Jamie Benn doesn't have points in two games for sure.
All right.
Considering have they won both the games they played? No, they're 0-1-1, actually. They haven't won either of the games. Maybe there's your problem.
They may be. All right. Who needs to have the biggest breakout of anyone in the NHL this year? And I can't really think of people off the top of my head, but, I mean, one has to be Alex Burrows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe just list some players you think need to have a breakout year.
What do you mean need to have a breakout? Like,
not
need
a breakout
in order to avoid a case of hepatitis or like
Ebola.
Ebola.
Who needs to have a bounce back year?
Bounce back year. I mean, well, okay. As a Canucks fan, the two Alexes come to mind almost immediately. In terms of teams, there's a couple of teams I look at as, you know, I really think that a guy who needs to have a bounce back year or else he's going to be traded is Eric Staal.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He just got hit in the head tonight.
That sucks. I think Eric Staal is I don't think he's ever going to be the player he was in that year. Carolina won the cup when he was second in the league in scoring, and he looked like next great NHLer. But I still think Eric Staal is a top line center, and I do think that Carolina, if they tank this year, which I think they will do, I think they're going to be in McDavid Eichel territory. I think that they're going to look at trading Eric Staal, which would be hilarious because the reason they signed Jordan Staal for that enormous friggin' contract they signed him for is to be with Eric. And now they're saddled with both of them, and both of them suck.
And both of them there.
Yeah. So I see Eric Staal as a guy who really needs to bounce back. Probably he's number one on my list, I think. I can't really think of anyone else
who's a superstar.
Rick Nash, because he embarrassed himself in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess so. So that leads to question three. Where does Eric Staal get traded to by the trade deadline?
Well, if Carolina's tanking and the teams that we think are in contention are still in contention, then a team that is desperate for a cup will trade for him. Enter the San Jose Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And enter a trade involving maybe some of their good young players like a Matt Nieto or a Goladobin, the kid who they drafted in the first round this past year, or a Mirko Mueller on the back end, like some good young players. I don't think they would trade Thomas Hurdle for him, but I could see San Jose is really identifying Staal as a guy that they could bring in and plug into maybe like a second line center role, and you can move a guy like Pavelski over to his wing.
Yeah. All right. LeBron James. So I don't know if you saw the highlights of the preseason game versus Miami. Set a screen for Norris Cole, apparently forgetting what team he plays for.
What do you mean? Like he was playing against the Heat and he set a screen?
He was playing against the Heat and he set a screen on his own guy. So
that's hilarious.
So he forgot what team he plays for.
That's a gong show.
The question is, are the Miami Heat going to make the playoffs if they don't get more screens from LeBron James?
Oh, I don't. You know what, man? I haven't looked up enough basketball stuff entering the year. I'm going to start concerning myself with basketball maybe in 2 weeks, right before the season starts. I think the Heat are still at first blush good enough to make the playoffs, but that's actually hilarious that he said he had a screen on his own player.
It's almost as good as David Legg. I guess the question should have been more embarrassing: LeBron setting a screen on his own teammate, or David Legwan playing in Nashville for the first time and going to the Nashville penalty box.
That was pretty funny. That was really funny. I'll go with LeBron physically impeding his own teammate.
Which is fantastic. Okay, I'm thinking off the top of my head here. So let's look at the standings. After 4 days, mm-hmm. Who's your biggest surprise of a good team in the NHL? After 4 days and two games.
You know what? The fact that Montreal's 3-0, but I mean, we talked about that. They have two shootout wins, so I don't necessarily count that. I am actually really surprised. Nashville's 2-0.
Yeah, they are.
Plus four
in goal differential.
Yeah, Minnesota and San Jose, neither of those teams has allowed a goal yet, so that's pretty cool to see. But I think we both know that those are two good teams. Mm-hmm. But Nashville, they are 2-0, and they beat Ottawa, who's whatever, and Dallas, who's a better team than them.
Yeah, they did. All without any points from James Neal.
Yeah, without any points from James Neal, without any points from Seth Jones, which is turning into my stupidest pick of the fantasy pool. What the hell was I thinking? You know, when I hovered over that Seth Jones pick, I was thinking to myself I should pick Eric Jelena from New Jersey because I know he's first-line power play and he's top two and he has 4 points already for them. And fuck.
Well, you know, the one you know.
Granted, it doesn't matter because, Nashville, I would say, probably would be the most surprising undefeated team right now.
Yeah, after two games.
All right. Their leading scorer is Eric Nystrom.
All right. So this is question number four? Yes. Question four. Edmonton tonight had goals from Brad Hunt, brother of Mike. Don't say it. From Brad Hunt, Mark Acapello, Nail Yakupov, and Jesse Yohansuu. Yeah. They had 3 2-goal leads?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will they ever win a game again?
No, and if I owned one of their jerseys, you know where I would end up? On the ice.
Oh, man. Two Canadian teams, two jerseys on the ice.
Yeah, but that's just plagiarism, because Oilers fans did it first, and they've done it for longer, and it looks so much better when they do it.
Especially because cell phones in their pocket.
Oh, yeah, because then it always zooms in on Dallas Eakins' stupid face, which I want to punch. Did you know that friggin' Dallas Eakins, he only played Nail Yakupov 9 minutes tonight, and I'm not saying that Nail Yakupov is Pavel Bure, but Dallas Eakins hates Nail Yakupov. Like, seriously,
I can't
even fathom it. Yakupov had a goal tonight. I thought he was dangerous when he was on the ice, and Dallas Eakins treats him like an Ebola patient. This is Ebola cast.
The Ebola cast, that's what it's called. Okay. There was some surprising things in that game. Leon Draisaitl also played 9 minutes in that game. Let's look at time on ice for Yannick Hansen. 9 minutes.
Oof. Well, Yannick Hansen's terrible.
Well, here's the thing. Someone called in to TSN 1040 and said Zach Cassian needs to play in the top six. And looking at what Dan Murphy said to us, that's three coaches who are apparently wrong. Zach Cassian got demoted to the fourth line in that game.
Zach Cassian did not play that well tonight.
He was awful. And he
didn't play that well in the first game.
The only player who was worse was Kevin Bieksa, who was god-awful in that game tonight.
Someone needs to... I agree. I didn't think Kevin Bieksa was very good. Someone needs to give Alex Edler an enormous hug because he was a plus one tonight, and that's the first time he's been a plus since, like, he got his HIV positive test back. No, I'm just joking. Please delete that from the podcast. That wasn't funny.
Alex Edler was plus 13 on his shot attempts, his Corsi tonight. That's insane. Like, he's back. He's good. The Sedins are back. Wow, that overtime was amazing.
Yeah, that was a good game. But anyways, what's your fifth question? Come on,
hit me. Oh, sorry. My fifth question is... 1 second, I had it written down. Oh, ref cam. Are you for or against it?
So everyone seems to love ref cam. I was listening to Team 1040 the other day, and they love ref cam. I think that it's a bit nauseating
the way it's set up,
like it makes me want to barf, but it's cool. So it's a bit like drinking tequila. It makes me want to barf, but it's cool.
But when everything settles down, you're like, oh yeah, that's why I do it.
Oh yeah, ref cam, wide angle lens, GoPro.
Well, if you have like the end of the Rogers Game Center thing and you just watch only the ref cam, A, you're an idiot, B, you're drunk, and C, what are you doing? But well, if you're
those
watching...
are all three of those things apply to me. So, I must be their target audience.
If you watch it for like the Redi Rabada goal, like for a review, or you watch it for a penalty call, they use it in specific circumstances. And I'll say this about the Sportsnet cast: they have awful people on their coverage. Panel of Messier, Damon Cox, PJ Stock, and George Strombolopoulos was just mind-numbingly awful.
If I have to hear Damon Cox give his opinion on hockey anymore, I am going to claw my own ears off my head. I cannot handle Damon Cox. He is the worst. The absolute worst. Oh, I really do. It's because he had such a ferocious bias against the Canucks for so long, and it was so unfounded because you work for the Toronto Star. Like, no one in San Jose gives a shit about the New Jersey Devils. Get over yourself, Damien Cox, you stupid bald fuck.
They just need to add Pierre Maguire and they'll have the bald trio on that panel. It'll be great.
If they have Mark Messier on that panel all year, I am going to scream out loud. If I have to listen to Damian Cox and Mark Messier debate things, I am going to sacrifice a goat.
They just need Bruce Arthur and Steve Simmons, and it'll be a great panel.
No, don't. Steve Simmons is not Steve Simmons is not made for conversation. Steve Simmons, if they have Damian Cox, Mark Messier, and Steve Simmons on a panel, I am going to, like, sacrifice an animal at the altar of Satan to make it stop. It cannot happen, Paul.
So, bottom line, you don't like RefCast.
So, bottom line, I love Sportsnet's panel. Nick Kyprios is great.
Nick Kyprios is a joke. Why do they point at their screen with hockey sticks? Do they not have money for a telestrator?
God, I miss Bob McKenzie already.
Oh, God. Can we just bring back Jay and Dan and let's all move down to L.A.?
You know, you and I are never going to see Bob McKenzie do hockey games ever again because he has said that he's going to be retired by the time Sportsnet's thing comes up. So until I'm the age of 38, I have to put up with Nick Kyprios commenting on hockey in between periods, which makes me more depressed than North Vancouver real estate prices.
The one thing Sportsnet has going for them is they have the all access thing. They have monopoly on it. So when one game ends, they can switch to another, kind of like CBS and Fox do with their NFL games. That's cool. Everything else is awful.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about their coverage so far. The fact that they have Paul Romanek doing the announcing, I feel like I'm watching the Spengler Cup every time I'm watching a game.
Mike Johnson's pretty good. Mike Johnson's probably the Sportsnet's best free agent pickup.
Sure he is, but he's like the Benedict Arnold of sports announcing. He left TSN the moment they lost the rights. What a douchebag.
He's the LeBron James of... Not really.
No. Well, he's the Chris Bosh of... Because he's not a main guy.
But he just jumps ship when everything else goes downhill. I like it. All right.
All right.
Well, that's cool. You know who we should get on this podcast?
Who?
Is Scott McMillan.
Okay, well, I know that he is one of the people who listens to this podcast from moment one to moment 60, and if we ask him to be on this podcast, he'll probably come on. He is a hockey mind who I respect quite deeply, and although he's not exactly well-known, you know, by anyone. Oh, God, I hope you listen to this one. Oh, my God. I'll know it because he'll Facebook message us. I have no problem bringing him on. He's a smart hockey guy. So we'll probably bring him on this week. So you can look forward
to the progression through Omar, Wyatt, Harrison, Dan Murphy, and Scott.
Seems like, you know, I was thinking, you know, Dan Shulman or Don Taylor, and you're thinking Scott. That's who you want to bring. Let's bring your goddamn mother on, Scott. Or Paul, let's be honest.
I don't mean to offend you, Scott. It's just my logic makes no sense.
Your progression there, it's Colorado Avalanche progression. It's nonsensical.
All right. Well, then let's ask this question. After Scott, who should we get onto this podcast? Who do you want me to try and persuade here?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that, folks, and we'll have in the next few weeks, we're going to get at least one really solid guest on, because I have one guest who I've been conversing with a little bit, and we might be able to get on. So,
great. I don't want your brother on here.
Well, you know, if we want to talk about esports, he's the guy to bring on.
Oh, God. I'm going to get Jack Sock on this podcast.
I don't mean Ebola sports.
It's time to go. I can't do this.
It's time to sleep.
Hey, P.S. The BC Lions are in fourth place in the West Division in CFL, and they're better than the first place in the East Division. So, hashtag CFL.
We'll see you later this week, folks. What movies did you watch? Did you watch any good movies?
I was on the plane from Toronto to Vancouver, and one of the movies on my list was How to Train Your Dragon. So, I watched it. But then at the end of the movie, I didn't really understand what was going on. And I realized at the end it was How to Train Your Dragon 2. So I pretty much have to start my life over again.
So that's a bit like listening to this podcast, but starting listening to this podcast by listening to the Scott McMillan episode.
Yes.
Sorry, Scott.
I love you.
We'll see you on Tuesday, folks.
Peace out.